Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, Minister of Scott Tower, Pops College, Southern Southern Congregation, Mount Zion, Scott Tower, in Elgin, Texas. Today is May the 25th, 2025, or this 29th day of Zip, 2029. We'll start our first service on this first day of the week with a continuation of reading from Volume 2 of the Church of God. Number 16, and the name of our sermon is Satan's Triple Defeat. This is part 2 of, and we're on page 16. We're going to start with Revelation 12, 7 to 17. This is the second part of the page. We're on page 20. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was the first town any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out he was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice then in heaven, "Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our Yahweh and the power of his son Yahshua, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our Yahweh day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto thee having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly unto the wilderness." And as you know, that's a Revelation prophecy of Revelation 17, is a fish of the United States, as we know it today, in the West, and to her place, where she is nursed for a time and time and half a time, and the face of the serpent, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as his throat. Ask the woman that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, that keep the commandments of the Yahweh and have the testimony of the Yahshua. For the main 10 points to be noticed in these verses is that after the dragon and his angels were cast out of the heaven, Satan suffered defeat, and after he had persecuted the church and she had taken her flight into the wilderness, the dragon followed her there, but rather than persecuting her, he cast water of the flood after her, hoping to cause her to be carried away by it. In the other words, after he saw that he could not stop the growth of the antitypical apostolic church, the church that was descended from the early apostolic church of the Nazarene, at the cross, with the 12 apostles at the head of it, by the persecuting her of followers, he changed his tactics and instead compelled the pagans to join her, expecting thereby to cause her to be paganized and carried away. Alright, he says, for the dragon, though, is again to miss the mark. For the earth is to open her mouth and swallow up the flood. That is, inspiration definitely foretests that those who join the Seventh-day Adventist Church in the last days, here in this 12th parabolic hour, especially that we're in now, for some purpose other than for the following and passing of the present unfolding of the truth that's been present and unfolding since 1833, when our First Day Adventist William Miller prophesied of the 2300 days that was to come on the scene in 1844, shall be disposed of by a miracle, be swallowed up by the earth. Earth and prophecy of the United States, as it were. And when this comes to pass, Satan shall have met his third defeat. And we're the ones that are in charge of him meeting his third defeat. Summarize, here are his three defeats. Number one, failing to devour the child. Number two, losing the war in heaven. Number three, failing to paganize the church by the flooding her with the unconverted. When he meets the third defeat, when the tares which he sowed are burned, for as a flood they are swallowed by the earth, but as the tares they are burned by the angel. Then it is that the purified church, the kingdom of heaven here on earth, down to 244 and 45, if Yahshua is sitting upon the throne of David in his purified church, will appear there as the moon, here as the sun, and terrible as an army with the banner. She is to go forth into all of the world, conquering and to conquer. That statement is found in Proverbs 17, 7:25, by the Ellen G. White. Having met such a mighty defeat, and having seen that the church is freed from this flood, the dragon's wrath is to be intensified. He will be wroth with the woman, and make war with the remnant of her seed. Which keep the commandments of the Yahweh and have the testimony of the Yahshua. Revelation 12:17. The spirit of the prophecy, Revelation 19:10. Obviously, the remnant are those of the second priest of the Gentile world that are scattered out in all nations all over the world, who are left after the earth here in the United States, opens her mouth and swallows up the flood. They, as a body, keep the commandments of the Yahweh and have the living spirit of the prophecy. For the spirit here who dictated scriptures, who has led the Yahweh's people into all of the present truth, of the unfolding of the present truth. Now, let's read that again. For the spirit of the prophecy, who is with the dictating of the scriptures, who has led the Yahweh's people into all of the present unfolding of the present truth, down through the ages, and who still is performing that act. Thus it is that the dragons that the dragon's wrath and the church's purity caused by the dragon's third defeat are to bring the time of the trouble such as never was. And at that time shall the Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of the trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even unto the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, Daniel 12:1. Nothing in the world is worth as much as having our names written in the book, and therein we may have our name if we choose to follow the spirit of the present unfolding of the present truth, and for the keeping of the commandments of by the keeping of the commandments of the Yahweh. Here we have seen that those who think that the law recognized not only as the Ten Commandments, but also Yahshua's commandments, as mentioned in John 15:10, where Yahshua told his disciples, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love," which is the commandments of the sanctuary of Leviticus 23:1-44. "And you shall abide my love," he said, "even as I've kept my Father's commandments, the Ten Commandments, and abide in his love," is abolished. For the Ten Commandments, it says, is abolished that their lives need not comport with. But comport with the law. So the Ten Commandments, they are not the law. The law means the whole law. James 2:10. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one commandment or break one least commandment, he is guilty of all. And those who think that the spirit of prophecy is a thing of the past, that Yahweh has left the world to get along as best it can, that he no longer bothers himself to send a prophet, that all such shall find themselves in league with the Babylon the Great, the seed of the dragon, and rather than having their names written in the book, they will have the mark of the beast and have a part in the persecuting of the remnant that keep the commandments of the Yahweh, the Ten Commandments, and have the testimony of Yahshua, For the testimony of Yahshua is Yahshua's commandments that was found in the sanctuary operation by the blood offering. Now is the time for all to decide either to be swallowed up by the earth, cast into the fire, or to be delivered by Michael, our prince. Let us therefore choose delivery rather than defeat. O Lord of Yahweh, O ye his saints, for Yahweh deserveth the faithful and plentiful, and plentifully rewarded the proud doer. Psalm 31:22. Okay, that's the end of chapter 16. A world government and the only people who will not bow down unto it. Okay. So it's, we go with our time of greetings numbers. And we're on page, this is time of greetings volume 2, number 17. And this is a text of address by the V.T. Hollow. Is a reprint. So we're going to go right on into it. Text for prayer is entitled The Deceitfulness of Riches. This afternoon I shall read on page 52 of the Christ Object Lessons by the Ellen G. White. For the love of the riches has an infatuating, deceptive power. For too often, those who possess the worldly treasure forget that it is Yahweh who gives them power to get wealth. For they say, my power and the might of mine hand has gotten me this wealth. Deuteronomy 8:17. For their riches instead of the awakening our gratitude unto Yahweh leads to the exaltation of the self, for they lose a sense of their dependence upon the Yahweh and their obligation for their fellow men. Instead of regarding wealth as a talent to be employed for the glory of Yahweh and the uplifting of the humanity, they look upon it as a means of the serving themselves, instead of the developing in the man the attributes of the Yahweh. Riches thus used are developing in him the attributes of Satan, and the lust of other things. These are not necessarily things central in themselves, but something that is made first instead of the kingdom of the Yahweh. Whatever attracts the mind to the Yahweh, whatever draws the affections away from Yahshua, is an enemy unto the soul. We should now pray for the realization that Yahweh is the one who gives us the opportunity for the obtaining of our needs, and that the blessings that he blesses some, and with riches, for no other purpose than for the rich to serve him in the person of the humanity. In this reading, we are also commended to pray that we shun serving self and learn to give Yahweh the credit for all our righteous acts, and to charge our sins against the devil. Okay, that's the end of our prayer talk. We will now go into our regular sermon called A World Government and the Only People Who Will Not Bow Down to It, December 6, 1947, by D.C. Hartzell. Revelation 13:1-10. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, And that sea represents the old country of Europe, having seven heads and a ten horn. And upon the horn 10 pounds, upon his head the name of the blasphemer. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth and the blasphemy against Yahweh. He blasphemed his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in the heaven. And it was given unto him for the making war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. For he that leadeth into the captivity shall go into the captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. We have here read the description of one beast. But the remaining verses brings to our attention another beast. Revelation 13:11-14. And I beheld another beast come up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake to the dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, and so that he maketh fire come down from the heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. For this second beast arises not from the sea but from the earth, and he makes an image, a likeness of the first beast. That is, he revives the governmental principles of the first beast. The principles in force before the first beast received his deadly wound. Let us continue. Revelation 13:15-18. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as have and would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So if you have a president of the United States, that has all the seven numbers, and his birth date, and then his presidency inauguration, and all of that. Donald Trump has 3 7s, means complete. But he's fulfilling all the 666s. Okay? That's all I'm going to say about it. For the Bible, we see, places the number 666 not on the first page, the leopard light, but on the second, the two-horned beast, for the description of the first beast ends in Revelation 13:10. And the description of the two-horned beast begins with Revelation 13:11 and ends with the Revelation 13:8 early denominational publication entitled A Word Unto the Little Flock, an issue by the founders of the denomination, also rightly places the number 666 on the two-horned beast. See page 19 of A Word to the Little Flock. For the revelation being a complement, Acts of the Apostles, page 585 of the Book of the Daniel, it is necessary that we touch a little on Daniel chapter 7 in the particular. For the little horn, in the second phase of the Daniel's fourth page, shows a rise of the brutal tyrannical power, a power against the people of the Yahweh. For the symbolization of the John's leopard like beast of the chapter 13, which is the continuation of the Daniel's fourth beast, tells what's happened unto that demon power. For the Daniel explains that his four beasts symbolize four world empires, one following the other. So we have that taking place in the end times today, and we have that second world empire now that is following the first one of Babylon that was run by the Democrats in this country. And now we have that second power, the Persian power, streaming by Donald Trump as a Republican. But he is really not of the Republican Party. He's independent of a local Republican Party in our Congress, but he runs as the owner of the third party on the Republican ticket. And it has been widely understood that they are Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome. Okay. And note that John's leopard like beast has the head of a lion, first beast, the feet of a bear, second beast, the body of a leopard, the third beast, and the ten horns, fourth beast. And so you see the leopard, the beast is a composite beast of the Daniel's fourth beast, a descendant of them, for it thus therefore represents the world after the fall of the fourth empire, after the pagan Rome. Moreover, the ten crownless horns of the Daniel's fourth beast, being symbolical of the kings that were to arise out of the Roman Empire, for the crowns on the leopard-like beast show that the beast represents the period in which the kings took their crowns, and the period after the disintegration of the pagan Roman Empire. Now, the pagan Roman Empire that succeeded Grecia, the third beast of Daniel's vision, was not is not in of itself. It only had a period of time to operate, but its successor that continued on the Roman Empire is how the Roman Empire continued on until the end. The fourth beast still fled. The leopard-like beast blasphemed Yahweh and his tabernacle. Just as long as did Daniel's fourth beast and his second stage. Ecclesiastical Rome, that is a time and time and a divide of time. 3 years and 6 months. 42 months. Plain it is, then, that the leopard-like beast reigned contemporaneously with the nondescript beast in his second phase. The phase of the little horned beast. For the deadly wound on the leopard life therefore represents the deadly blow which it received from the Protestant Reformation. Hence, its wounded head represents the horned head power, an amalgamation of the civil and religious powers of the Daniel's beast, divested of its civil power. The horn. Now, since the horns of the giant's beast symbolize the nation, and his wounded head symbolizes a religious organization, a divorce from a civil power, and since his seven heads are all alike, save for the wound under one of them, it becomes obvious that the heads, seven in number, portray religious bodies, Christendom in its entirety. In other words, all your Presbyterians, Lutherans, Baptists, Methodists, all of those, Church of Christ and all of them, they all represent one religion. For the horns, though, and the seventh heaven is the seventh one that has joined the other six, all representing the same religion. And that's the apostate doctrine of a three-in-one person of the Godhead of the Catholic Church that has been enforced upon all Protestant denominations to accept, establish, and observe as their universal doctrine for all religions around the world. 10 in number portrays the civil government in their entirety, both horns and heads. Therefore, represents the world of today, just as each of the banners four beasts respectively represents the world in their day. For the horns and the heads all being on the beast at the same time, not coming up one after another, are in the manner falling off as the horns in Daniel chapter 7 and 8 should forever convince every rational mind that the horn and head symbolize civil and religious bodies all existing at the same time, not one following the other. For the blaspheme being over the head, not over the horn, denotes that the religious bodies portray therein do not worship Yahweh according unto the present period and the unrolling of the scroll, but they are not holding what they profess to be, or the exact interpretation of the inspiration based on the word blasphemy, unless I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, that is to man. It is better for all of us to acknowledge that our failures and to obey the truth, for it is the truth that shall make us free. Moreover, since we admit that the Reformation inflicted the deadly blows and brought forth art letter, and since inspiration said a wound was healed, all these prove something which, if we confess, has saved our jeopardized life and make this as great as did the wholehearted confession anciently make the David great. What is it that we have to confess? Just sit. If the Protestantism wounded the beast by the Reformation, then the healing of the wound shows nothing less than that the Reformation has failed for the keeping of the wound open, and that the goal of the Reformers has died. And despotism has been revived. Indeed, this symbolism is saying saying what the message to the lady of sins is saying. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with the good, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with the eye salve, that thou mayest see. Revelation 3:17-18. For one to be in such a deplorable condition and at the same time to contend that he has need of nothing is indeed blasphemy. Unlike the first beast, the second beast comes from the earth. For the sea and the earth obviously point unto the two different locations. For we know that the beast of the Daniel 7 and the leopard, like of the Revelation 13, is with the beast that arose from the earth, the sea, all originated in the old country. For the lands where the humanity originated, yes, the sea befittingly symbolizes as the old country, because the sea is the storehouse of the waters. The place where the waters originate as the old country is the place from where humanity spread out. For the earth then points unto a place away from the sea, and the opposite of what the sea stands for, as a country made up of the inhabitants who have immigrated from elsewhere in the world. For the only such country or nation away from the old country, and as influential as portrayed in this two-horned beast, that arises after the formation of the leopard library in the Protestant period is in the United States. Moreover, the United States is already as a world power, and so we need not for the guessing anymore. For the beast two-horned point to its two political ruling powers, Democrats and Republicans. The lamb-like character gives the appearance of the innocence, harmlessness, and charitability. For the beast speaking like a dragon nevertheless repudiates the lamb-like appearance of the horn. For the two-horned beast exercise all of the power that the first beast, the leopard-like, exercise, again showing it is to be a world power. Indeed, It requires just such a power to compel all the inhabitants of the earth to worship as he commands, and to implement a likeness of the church and state government that is as outdated as are the Middle Ages themselves. Yes, it takes such a power to influence the world, save those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, to bow down unto it. Revelation 13:13-15. And he does great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from the heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should so speak and talk, that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Here you see that this unification of the world engendered for the bringing peace and harmony out of the present chaos will instead bring an even greater time of trouble. And why? Because though the beast may bring it, communism and capitalism to mutual agreement and cause them to bow down to the image of the beast, to the Catholic government that is set up here again in the United States. Yet those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of the Life will never comply. From this you see that the whole plan is directed by a supernatural power whose aim is to boycott the people of the Yahweh. They shall nevertheless be delivered when the beast decree is passed that no one can buy or sell and should be killed for the nonconformity. Then Yahweh only can protect his people. For the people whose names are written in the book, such is his faithful promise. At that time shall the Michael, the son of Yahweh, the Father, stand up as the great prince that standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of the trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even under that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Daniel 12:1. Revelation 13:16-17. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, said he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. For this power, you see, is for the controlling of the world's markets. 2. This symbolic forecast of the world government to be set up plainly points out that the coming world government is to be neither the UN nor communism, but an ecclesiastical power, that would mean the church and state. For we know that it is not the communist, because communism is a against religion and the basis for it. When this comes to pass, which is no longer beyond the horizon, then those whose names are written in the book of the life shall be delivered, but all others will have to receive the mark of the beast. There will be no middle ground or middle place. For we should now decide what to do, so that we will not be caught off guard by this very cause, the light of the present truth, the light of the unfolding of the present truth, has come unto us now. For the world government, which is to develop from the League of the Nations, and the United Nations is not actually to be absolutely universal, and there are still to be two worlds, but rather than there being capitalism and communism, they are to be those who worship the beast and his image, and those who worship Yahweh and have their names written in the book. The latter are the only people who will not bow down to the future world government. A true time of greeting, number 18. This says, surround the youth with the right influences. That's the prayer thought. Very before I went into this sermon, this sermon is a final world government, communistic or capitalistic, which Revelation 17:18, Vichy Hollow, December 13, 1947. Revelation 17:1-3. This came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come up hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. This beast is seen for the betraying of the world in its day, as are all the beasts of the Daniel and the Revelation sin to portray the world and their death. For the world has been opposite of the vineyard, he knows that the beast's domain is not in the promised land, not in the vineyard, Isaiah 5:7. But in the lands of the Gentiles, which is in the wilderness. From the domain, therefore, is included the Holy Land. And by the fact that the woman is sitting on the beast driving it, has positively shown that she is ruling it, and that the beast itself is as a symbol of the dominion of the Babylon of the Greeks. For the beast's ten horns portray civil powers, as do the horns of Anus, a symbolic beast. And if the wounded head of the leopard-like beast of the chapter 13 is symbolical of a religious organization, as is taught by the denomination, then its seven heads must likewise be figurative of the religious body. Thus it is that this beast, in its entirety, like all the other such beasts of the Bible, symbolizes the Gentile world in its entirety, civil and religious bodies. Or the horns and the heads. For the blasphemy is for the one to speak lightly of the Yahweh, to work hypocrisy, to profess to be something other than what one actually is. For the inspiration's definition is this: I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of the Satan. Revelation 2:9. Revelation 17:46. And the woman was arrayed in the purple and scarlet color, and decked with the gold and precious stone and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abomination and filthiness of her fornications. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of the Yeshua. And when I saw her, I wondered with a great admiration. For this woman does not symbolize something new, but something as old as time of the martyrs, for she is the cause of their slaying. What should she be but a counterfeit religion which originated with the king's unacceptable sacrifice? Since then she has brought forth sectarianism, has become a mother of the harlots. Her abominations, you know, are made very attractive, being dispensed from a golden cup held in the hands that are gorgeously decked with the costliest things of the earth. Revelation 17:7-13. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. For the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of the life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath risen. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sits, and there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into the perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are the ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, that receive power as the kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Here is the beast, whose makeup is similar unto that of the leopard-like beast. In chapter 13. The horns of this scarlet colored beast, though, are crownless, and none of his heads are wounded. Also, rather than having the name of blasphemy written only over his head, his whole body is full of the name of blasphemy. In the previous study, we learned that the leopard like this symbolizes the world from the fall of pagan Rome unto our time, the great controversy. Well, we know pagan Rome fell in 1798 AD, so we're talking about after that time. Now, since the scarlet colored beast also has a ten horn and seven heads, it is again seen that he too is in the stream of time a symbol of the world with the civil and religious powers, horns, and heads. Inasmuch as the head is not wounded as is the head of the leopard-like beast, and since the wound of the leopard-like is healed, it is clear that the scarlet-colored beast represents the world and the time that the wound is healed, and the time that the two horned beasts, Revelation 13, 11, 18, makes the likeness of the leopard-like beast in its pre-wounded state. You notice that the horns of the Daniel's fourth beast were crowned, or were crownless, and the horns of John's leopard-like beast crowned, and again that the horns of the scarlet colored beast, Revelation 17, are crownless, for the inspiration by the means of this symbolical beast portrays two periods of the time, one following the other. Number one, the period before the European kings received their crown. Number two, the period in which they are crowned. Number three, the period of the crownless king in which Babylon, the great, reigns supreme. For the fact that nearly all the crowned kings of the world have already been dethroned is proof in itself that the period number two, the period of the leopard-like beast, or crown horn, is about to pass away. And that period number three, the period of the scarlet-colored beast, crownless horn, is about to be ushered in. And in order to make the transition, the present distress of the nation is therefore inevitable. He shall make war with the Lamb. This is Revelation 17, 14 to 18. Shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and kings of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And the earth and he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are the people and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate, and Nick and Sarah ate her flesh and burned her with the fire. For the Yahweh had put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom and the beast unto their words until the words of the Yahweh shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. This brings in verse 30, the shower of common catch us at the 11th hour of Paul and number 11. Click on audio or